Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Meseches Bava Kamma has been dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Chaim Weiss, Lizchus Refuah Shleima of Miriam Farcha Bas Esther.
Bava Kamma Daf Pei Tes. The sugya over here is discussing the Takanas Usha, the Takana that the Rabbanan made, that if a woman sells the Nichsim Malug while she's married, some Ikra Din, the sale is valid, which means that the husband continues to eat Paris, but if she dies, then the Lekech will get the Karka. And Usha there was second that Habal Moitzim Yad Alakuchis. As Rashi says, the Rabbanan gave him the din of a lekeach rishain, as if he bought the karka from his wife before the other lekeach, and therefore when she dies, the husband will get the karka, not the lekeach. Now, Rav Idi Bar Ofna over here at the bottom of Peichesum and Beis, he says that we can bring a right to this takana susha from a braisa. He quotes a braisa which says that if two edim are made on a woman that she was niskareshes, that she already received her ksuba, and then it turned out that she was really married, she never had a gerushin, the edim were found to be edim zayimim, so they get the punishment of kasha zamam. And what is the hefzid that they would have caused? The hefzid is that if eventually she would get a get, or if the husband would have died, then she would not get the ksuba, because the edim were made that she already had gotten the ksuba. Now how much of a hefzid is this? The Braisa says, we evaluate how much a person would be willing to pay the woman to get the tovas hanor of the ksuba, which means that they're buying the rights that if the husband dies before her, or if the husband divorces her, so they'll get the ksuba instead of her. This is a risk, because if she ends up dying before the husband, then these lakuchas will not get anything, the husband will not have to pay the ksuba. And if Idi Bar Avin says that from this Braisa we have a right to Takanas Usha, because if there would not have been such a Takana, what does the Braisa mean, V'imesa Yerushena Bala, that the buyer of the Ksuba is taking a risk, that if she dies first, the husband is going to get the Yerusha, in other words, he's going to get the Ksuba. L'cher, if there's no Takanas Usha, she could sell the Ksuba, the buyer would have the rights, and the husband would not Yarshin her, meaning to say the husband would have to pay the Ksuba to the buyer, even if she died before the husband. And that Abaye says, Imamru B'nichsei Melug, Yomru B'nichsei Tzayim Barzel. Meaning, the whole discussion about Takanas Usha, if she sells the Nechasim, does the Lekech get them or does the husband get them? That's talking about Nichsei Melug. The Nechasim, what she owns, the actual Nechasim, the husband just has a right to get the pairs of those Nechasim. Since those Nechasim are still hers, she does have a right to sell them. And only through the Takanas Usha, we say that the husband gets them, even if she did sell them. However, here we're talking about Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, which means to say the Nechasim, what she brings into the marriage, they evaluate them, and they write it into the Ksuba. The husband is mechayiv himself that if he dies or divorces her, he's going to pay her the amount written in the Ksuba, which means besides the mana and masayim that he writes, and besides the tosefes which he adds, but there's also nichsei tzayim barzel which are written in, that's the amount of money which she brought in, and he's mechayiv himself to pay. Those nechasim, Abai says it's possible that she cannot sell them, even if it would not have been takana susha. Since these nechasim are be'etzem shaykh to the husband, as we see from the fact that if they go up in value, he's going to be the one to gain, and if they go down in value, he's going to be the one to lose. That's why they call Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, he's mechayif himself to pay back the value that they're worth at the time she brings them into the marriage. Therefore, we consider these nechasim to belong to him. Therefore, she definitely cannot sell them. The only thing she can sell is the tovas hanor if he ends up dying first or divorcing her. So the buyer will get the nechasim, either the nechasim be'en, or if they're not around, the value of the nechasim, like the husband was mechayif himself to give her that value. That she can sell, along with the money and the masayim of the ksuba, she could sell that as well. And on the side, the husband will eventually have to pay the ksuba, the buyer will be the one to collect it. Now, Bala Maisa is the hesber in this machlokes, whether if even without the takanas usha, a woman would not be able to sell a nichsei tzayim barzel. So the chaznish, in Evan Ezra Simon Samach Gimel, Sifkat and Hey, he discusses this, and he says, the pshat is, that ba'etzim, when a woman brings nichsei tzayim barzel into the marriage, they make an evaluation, and the husband is mechayiv himself, that if he'll divorce her, or if he dies, he's going to pay her back that chayiv. He says, the pshat is that ba'etzim really is considered a matana. She gives it a matana to the husband. Keneged that matana, in exchange for that, he's mechayiv himself that if he dies or if he divorces her, he'll pay her that same amount of money. And therefore, if she ends up dying before him, it's not the pshat that he yarshin this chayiv. Rather, he never was mechayiv himself in the first place under those circumstances. He only was mechayiv himself if he dies or if he divorces her. If she ended up dying before him, so it ended up that the matana originally was the complete matana, and he never had to pay up anything connected that, because the terms of his eschayvus were never met, he didn't end up divorcing her or dying before her. He quotes the Rabban in Vamistaf, Laman Chesam Abayz, which is before like this, that if she died while he's alive, it's not the pshat that he's a Yerish, he didn't yashin these nichsei tzayim barzel, rather he never was mechayv himself under these terms, the same way the Ikar Ksubo, the mana or masayim that he's mechayv himself. It's not the pshat that if she ends up dying before him, he yarshins that. It's not considered a Yerusha, just he never was mechayiv himself in the first place to pay that money, only in the case if he dies or if he divorces her. So too, the Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, even though it is something which she brought into the marriage, and one could have thought that perhaps the pshat is that if she ends up dying before him, he's considered a Yerush on those Nichsei Tzayim Barzel. The Chaznish says that's not the pshat, based on this Ramban, that she really gave it to him b'matana, and connected that matana, he's mechayiv himself, and he never was mechayiv himself on this tzad if she ends up dying before him. This is the Yisrael which Chaz Nisha over there is discussing, and he quotes our Gemara. He says, this is what Abaye means to say in Er Sugya as well. When Abaye says, Im Amru B'nichseim Lug, Yerimu B'nichseim Tzayim Barzel, Abaye means to make this differentiation, that Bishlam B'nichseim Lug, that's really her Nechasim, even though she brings it into the marriage, it's still hers, she owns the Kinyan Aguf of these Nechasim, and the reason why the husband gets them when she dies is the because he's the Yerish, he's the first one to Yerish in his wife. Therefore, since the husband is getting it Birusha, if she sells it before she dies, therefore the Lekech Batsim should be the one to get it. Just like any time someone sells his Nechasim before he dies. So the one who gets it is the Lekech, not the Yerish. Here as well, the Lekech should be able to keep it. Therefore, you need Takanas Usha to tell us about Moitzim Yad HaLekuchis. Mashenke by Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, if she tries to sell it, so it's not the Pshat, that these are Nechasim which she owns, and she sold it to someone else before the husband had a chance to Yerish in her. Rather, this is something which is in the Eschaivus of the husband, and he only was mechayiv himself if he divorces her or if he dies first. He never was mechayiv himself on the tzad that she dies first. Therefore, she sells the ksuba, meaning she sells these nechsei tzayim barzel. So if he did end up divorcing her or dying first, so the terms of his eschayivus were met, so she's supposed to get the ksuba, she sold the rights, and therefore the lekech will get it instead of her. But if she ended up dying first, so the terms of the eschayivus were never met, so it's not the fact that the husband is considered a yerush on this chayiv, rather he never was mechayiv himself in the first place. Therefore, it's possible that the Lekech will not have any rights to come and ask for the Ksuba. This is how the Chaz Nisha explains the Shita of Abaya. Now, what did Rav Yehuda Bar Oven hold? Chaz Nisha explains that Rav Yehuda Bar Oven held the same way by Nichsei Melug, that's one type of Nechasim which she brings into the marriage, and there the Gedarim which the Chachamim said are that even though she brought them into the marriage, she still does retain the rights to sell the Guf of these Nechasim. The husband gets the Peiros, and even if she sells it, the husband will continue to get the Peiros until she dies, but once she dies, the Lekech will be the one to get the Karka. And if that's the way the Chacham set the Gedarim by Nichsei Melug, it's mistar that by Nichsei Tzayim Barzel that should be the Gedarim as well, even though Nichsei Tzayim Barzel are different than Nichsei Melug. We evaluate the price at the time of the marriage. He writes the amount into the Ksuba and he's mechayiv himself to give back the same amount of money. But still, as far as the ability for her to sell the Nechasim, there Rav Yehuda Bar Oven held it should be the same, it shouldn't be any different than Nichsei Melug. By Nichsei Tzayim Barzel also, she should retain for herself the right to sell these Nechasim. Selling means that if she eventually dies, the husband will not get them Birusha, rather the Lekech will get these Nechasim. According to Rav Yehuda Bar Oven, the only reason why the Maisa, the husband, does get them is because of Takanas Usha. The same way by Nichsei Melug, Takanas Usha says that the husband has priority, so too by Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, Be'esem, she should have been able to sell them as well. The only reason why the husband gets them is because of Takanas Usha. The Chaz Nisha explains that Abaye holds, since the mechanics of Nichsei Melug and Nichsei Tzayim Barzel work differently, by Nichsei Melug, she brings the actual karka into the marriage, or whatever it may be, and she gets it back the same way it is. Their understanding is that she still owns the guf, she retains the rights to sell it. Bashenke Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, where she doesn't get back the nechasim the way they were, rather it's written into the ksuba, there the understanding is that it's different. She no longer has the right to sell these nechasim, rather the pshat, the husband is mechayiv himself as the chayiv, if she's going to end up dying before him, he's going to get the chayiv b'yerusha, she doesn't have a right to sell this chayiv, this is even without a konas usha. Now this yisayit is also brought in the Avnei Miluim, and Simon Tzadik, Sifkot and Dalid. He's coming to answer a kasha which he poses over there. The kasha over there is that why is it that a husband garishes the Nichsei Tzayim Barzel of his wife? L'chayr, the Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, it has a din of a chayv. The husband accepts upon himself the achrayis for these nechasim, he writes it into the ksuba. This is begeder a chayv, and the din is that we know that although a husband garishes all the nechasim of his wife, but ain't about neitel b'roi ki b'muchsik. This is a similar concept we find by a bechar, even though a bechar gets a double chaylik, but that's only b'muchsik. It's only the possessions which the father had in his rishus at the time he died. Anything which is roi was not in the rishus of the father at the time he died, rather it came later. For example, if the father had lent someone money and the loiv had paid back the chayv after the father died already, so on that, on those nechasim, the din is that the bechar does not get a double chaylik, all brothers share it equally. So too, the din is also by a husband, even though yashin his wife, but he does not yashin the things which are only roi, which come to the wife after she had died already. Those nechasim go to the yashim of the wife, her yashim from her family, they don't go over to the husband. And Kash is the Avnei Miluim asks that the Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, which is really like a halva, it's like the husband borrowed money from the wife, and now after she dies, the husband has to pay up the chayv, and Kepshut the Pshat is that he could keep the money because he himself is the Yerish, so he doesn't have to pay up the chayv to anyone else, he himself is the Yerish. But the chayv, since this is Roy, it's not Muchzik, so the din is that it should go to one of her descendants, it should not go to the husband himself, he does not have a schus to Yashin, these Nechasim of his wife, this is Roy, not Muchzik. In other words, the same way if she would have lent money to someone else, and that person would have paid back after she died. So that money would go to her descendants, the husband would not have a schus to yashin that money, so too if the husband himself is the one who owes the money, that money also should be paid back to the other yashim, the husband himself should not have a schus yirusha on that money. Now the truth is, Avnei Miluim adds that really the Gemara Bava Basra Daf Kuf Chaf Hei discusses what happens in the case where the father had lent money to the Bechor himself, and he hadn't yet paid back the money at the time the father died, Gemara has a tzad to say, maybe that's not called roi, maybe that's called muchzik. Since the son himself is the one who owes the money to the father, maybe that's not called roi. L'maisa, the Gemara has a suffix about this. And we pass in la'loch in chesh mishpah, simin reish ayin ches, siv zayin, this is a suffix, and therefore the din is, that the b'chor will have a schus to get half of the chelik b'chayra in this loan. Meaning this money that he owes the father and he pays back, the suffix whether he should get a double chelik in this loan, the same way he gets a double chelik in the rest of the father's nechasim. Since it's a suffix, the din is that he gets 1.5 times the other brothers, he doesn't get double. And therefore the same din should be here as well. Avin Mum says, when a woman dies, the din of the nechasik tzayim barazel should be, that since it's a halva, which the husband himself owes to her, that's a suffix whether it's called roi or mochsik. If it's roi, then the husband does not have a schus to get it, it would go to her other yershim. If it's mochsik, the husband would be able to keep it for himself. So the din should be also that he should get half of it. So what is the pshat that the husband yashins all of the nechasik tzayim barazel of his wife? This is the kasha of Avin Mum, he's marich about this. In the end, he says the terrors to this really is that it's not the pshat that the husband gets it midin Yerusha. The same you say which we said from the Rabban and the Chazanish. He says the nechasik tzayim barazel is like the rest of the ksuba. The husband is mechayev himself in the mana or masayim. The pshat is he's mechayev himself only in certain conditions on the side that he divorces her or that he dies before her. If she dies before him, he doesn't have to pay her. It's not begeder Yerusha. So too the nechasik tzayim barazel, he's mechayev himself to pay her only if he dies or he divorces her. On the side that she dies first, he doesn't have to pay her. It's not begeder Yerusha. Therefore, even if it would not be considered mochsik, it would be considered roi, still he would be partner because he never was mechayiv himself under these conditions. HaKaparam, we see that Avin Mum says the same Yisayin. As we saw, the Chaz Nish says, this is mamash what Abaya means in the sugya. When Abaya says, "Amar b'nichsim lug, yom b'nichsim tzayim barzel," this was the kavana of Abaya. Now, if we take a look over here in the Nemuki Yosef, in Dibur Maschal b'Usha Eskinu, he explains what Takanas Usha is, and he says, "Afgav d'ba'am b'lavki kinin guftami, b'ba'al b'nichsim ishti almur abana l'shibud mishum eva." Even if you hold that the kinyan paris which a Baal has by nichsei melug is not a kinyan guftami and therefore would not be enough to stop his wife from selling the nechasim, but I date takanas usha that gave an alimus to his kinyan, and therefore that would stop his wife from selling the karka. And then he continues and he says, v'yomru kein b'nichsei melug, if this din is true by nichsei melug, she'meisu meisu lo v'meisiru siru lo, the karka is really hers, she's the one who gains or loses if the karka goes up or down. If the din is true by nichsei melug, kol shekein b'nichsei tzayim barzel, the hainu nedunya shechnisu loy b'shumba mibei saviyah. The nedunya which she brings into the marriage and they make an evaluation, shemekabla chosn ol v'achrayis, he's mekabla chrayis, shemesu mesu loy v'maisiru esiru loy, the vadi limatia mezavna. Their kol shekein, for sure the din is that she cannot sell this karka. And the mashmois of this in Muki Yosef is that the kana solution would also include nichsei tzayim barzel. Even though the Gemara said that you don't have a right from Nichsei Tzayim Barzel that there is such a takana of Takanas Usha, the Gemara meant to say that perhaps there's a chilik, and you could say that by Nichsei Tzayim Barzel, even without Takanas Usha, she would not have been able to sell the karka. The Gemara means to be madcha that from the Raisa there's no right to Takanas Usha, but I'll leave with MS, now that we know the Maisa that there is Takanas Usha, now already we'll say that includes both Nichsei Melug and Nichsei Tzayim Barzel. You don't have to be mechadish and Nichsei Tzayim Barzel she would not have been able to sell even before Takanas Usha. Now we should point out Al-Khair, according to the Chazanish, the way he understands Abaya, Imam b'nichsei melug, yom b'nichsei tzayim barzel, that what Abaya is really saying is a yesaid, which the Chaznish has rayas to, and as we saw, Avin Mum brings rayas to as well, that which a husband gets to nichsei tzayim barzel when his wife dies, it's not together Yerusha, or the pshat because he never was mechayev himself in the first place. If so, it's pashut that he cannot sell the nechasim for the lekech to get them lachar misa, and there'll be no makom to say that Abaya is only a dichuy, meaning even after we know the maisa that there is takana susha, but that would only be by nichsei melug, it's pashut that you would not have to come onto it by nichsei tzayim barzel. Now, continue on in the Gemara, Abaya says, Tavas hano hoil va'osel yodon name of Baumilso, Tavas hano li'isha havi. The money of the Tavas hano when she sells her ksuba, the small amount that a person would be willing to buy it on the side that maybe he'll end up getting the ksuba, so that money she gets to keep it. The isako daidach lebal havio, if the husband would be able to keep that money, leimrula edim amayav sadinoch, these edim were made on her that she got divorced and she received her ksuba already, they should be able to tell her, what hefsid would we have caused you? You have of mezamel the tevas hana, even if you would have sold the ksuba and received that money of the tevas hana, bal have a shakal minoch, your husband would have taken it away from you. Only now the din is that she would have been able to keep that money for herself, therefore there was a hefsid which the edim were trying to cause her, and that's the money they have to pay for the punishment of kasha zaman. Now in the Sivus HaMishpan and Simen Kuf Memches, Sifkot and Aleph, he brings the Agamar as a right to an important yisoid which is mechadish. The yisoid is that any time a person is mazik something, and that item is something which cannot be sold. It has value to the owner, but it's not something which can be sold for money. No one else would pay for it. The din is that the mazik is not mechuyif to pay for being mazik that item. We'll mention one example. He discusses a Gemara Yevamistaf Lam Zayin Amad Beis. Whoever there is talking about a case where a person had a sada which was surrounded by other sadais. The only way he could get through his field is if he passes through someone else's field. And originally he had a schus, he had a right whether he was kind of a kesef, but he had a schus to walk through someone else's field to get to his own field. The person went to Medina Siyam for a while, and by the time he came back, it was forgotten where exactly this derech was, through which person's field he had a schus to walk through. And the Gemara says that if the case was that right now the four fields which surround his field are owned by four different people, but they all bought it from one person, in other words, originally all four fields were owned by one person, he sold his four fields to four different people, now the person from the middle field wants to come and get his derech, and each one of the four people who bought the four fields are claiming that the derech was not through my field, go to someone else, it was through his field. So the Gemara says that each one could be matchim to the other person, and he doesn't have a schus to get a derech through any one of their fields. Now Tosafos over there asks Akasha, and that is, the owners of the field now could be matchim, however the original meicher who owned all four fields, somewhere in one of his fields there was a derech, there was a right that the inner person had to walk through. Now when the meicher sold his fields to the four different people, so when he sold the bars, all the rights of the field, so some of the money of the sale really belongs to the owner of the inner field, since it was schus drisas regel which he owned, and if so, the owner of the middle field should be able to go to the meicher and ask him for that money, the value of the drisas regel, which the owner of the middle field really had over here. This is the kasha of Tosis, and the Nesiva says the pshat is that since this schus drisas regel, this right to walk through the outer field, is something which is worth money only to the owner of the middle field, because it's not the pshat that he really owned the derech over there. It's just that he had a right to walk through it in order to get to his field. So anyone else, this schus would be meaningless. It wouldn't have any value to them. Therefore, the din is that if one is mazik it or takes it away from him, there is no chiyuv bechlal. This is the yisayid of the Nesivis. Anything which has value only to the owner and not to anyone else, the din is that you're not mechiyuv if you're mazik it. And the Nesivis brings the right to this yisayid from Arasugya. Agmar says that had the din been that the tevis and which the woman gets when she sells her ksuba, the husband has the right to take it away, and the din will be that the Eidim Zayim would have to pay her that money because they could tell her, we didn't cause you any hefsid, since that money anyways would have gone to your husband. And the Nesivis says, brother, what is the pshat over here? She had a ksuba, this is something which has value. She may end up being able to collect with it if the husband is megarisho or if he dies before her. And you see that other people are willing to pay for it as well. People are willing to pay tayves hana. So what's the pshat of your hekad edim tell that we weren't being mafs to do anything because the husband would have taken away the money if you would have sold the ksuba? And the Siva says the pshat, as you see from here, that even if there is something which has value, but if they cannot sell it, if selling it would not make any money for them, and if one is mazik this, they're not mochayiv to pay. This is not considered a hezik. Now, Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Sefer Mincha Shlomo in Madura Tinyana Simon Kuf Lamed Hey, he discusses this Nesivis. He asks the kash on the Nesivis, which others ask as well, and that is that even if the Nesivis is correct, that an object which has value only to its owner, no one else would be willing to pay for it, if one is mazik and he's not mechuyev, in the case of Agamar, this is different. In Asuk, the ksuba has value both to her and to other people are willing to pay for it, and even though the Maisa she wouldn't sell it, that's only because if she sells it, the money will be taken away by her husband. That's really a different issue. That should not be a reason why it's not considered that Eidim Zayim were trying to be mafsid her. Surely they were being mafsid her. This is something which had value to her and to everyone else. And now which the husband would have taken it away, he says we could compare this to a case where a person receives something b'matana, he receives it as a gift, but with a condition that he doesn't sell to anyone else. Surely then it's pashit, everyone would agree to this, that if someone else comes along and is mazik and he's mechuyev to pay for it, he's considered a mazik. This is an item which had value, it had value to him, and he could have theoretically sold it to anyone else, even though Lamaisa there was something being ma'ak of him from selling it, because it was a condition in the original matana, that surely would not be a reason why it should not be considered something which has value. Another example Rosh Hashem Zalman gives, if a person made a shvua, that if I sell this item, then the money which I get for the sale, I'll give to Hegdish. So even though in this case, the person is probably not going to sell it, it's not kedai for him, he's not going to gain anything by selling it, because the money will have to give away to Hegdish, still it's possible that if someone's mazik it, it's considered that he's mazik something which has value and he'll be mechuyev to pay for it. So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains, he says the pshat is like this. There's a difference between something which has intrinsic value, something which is a chafis, which b'esim is worth money. The other thing is that if it's worth money for him, even though it's not worth for other people, if one is mazik, he's mechuyev to pay. An example Rav Shlomo Zalman gives is if a person chews a piece of food, so for that person it's worth money. He took it out of his mouth and then someone else was mazik it, so even though for anyone else this food is not worth anything, but since for him it is worth money, if you mazik it, you're mechuyev to pay. Another example he says is, if a person goes to a sefer and he writes up a shtar for him, even though this shtar is meaningless for anyone else, but for him it is worth money, if someone else is mazik it, he would have to pay for it, meaning he'd have to pay for the piece of paper, and he'd also have to pay the amount that the sefer takes to write the shtar again. However, in this case, in Hasig, the Eidim Zayim tried to be mafsed to her ksuba. So Shlomo Zalman explains that best, and the way we should evaluate the kasha zomam is, we should wait and see what happens. If in the end the husband divorces her, or the husband dies first, they should have to pay her the full value of the ksuba. If she ends up dying before him, then they shouldn't be mechuyev of anything. The Baisa, however, does not say this. Right? What the Baisa says is that they paid the Tzayva Sana, the man that she could have sold the Ksuba for. The Pshat of Rishlam Zalman says that the Hezek, which is a Safik, could also be translated into terms of a Hezek Vadai if we evaluate how much this Safik can be sold for. Rishlam Zalman gives a mashal to this. He says if a person is masking someone else's lottery ticket, so Baisa could say, let's wait and see if the lottery ticket wins the lottery. If it ends up winning, then it'll turn out that the Hezek which the Mazik caused was the full amount of the prize. If on the other hand it doesn't end up winning, then it'll turn out the Mazik didn't really cause him any hefsit. However, Rishlam Zalman says that's not the way we do it, Lamaisa. Rather, we take the Safik Hezek and we translate it into terms of a Vadai Hezek, since a person would be willing to pay money for this lottery ticket. Before the lottery is drawn, this ticket has a market value. That amount of money that a person would pay for it, we consider that was the Hezek which was done. However, here Rishlam Zalman says the pshat is, this is only if Lamaisa, the lottery ticket, can be sold. If for some reason it's not able to be sold, then we're not going to translate it into the Hezek Vadai. Rather, the Hezek will be the Hezek Safik. We'll have to wait and see what did the real Hezek turn out to be in the end. This is the pshat in Agamar as well. Gemara saying, if the din would be that if she sells it, the Tzayva Sana would go to the husband and not to her, so obviously she would never want to sell such a thing. So here the same din would apply. Whether the person cannot sell it or they're not willing to sell it, either way, we're not going to evaluate a Safik Hezek in terms of a Vadai Hezek, unless practically speaking this is something which would be sold. This is what the Gemara means to say, if the Tzayva Sana would go to the husband, we would not say that the hefsit which the Eidim caused was this amount of the Tzayva Sana. And based on this, Rav Shlomo Zalman says we can understand the comparison of the Nesivis. Nesivis was talking about a case where a person had a schus to walk through someone else's field. A schus to walk through a field is not an ownership of a tangible item. And then also, in order to mechayev a person from being mafsid this schus, it would have to be that the owner of this schus had the ability to sell it. In both of these cases, the case of the Tzayva Sana for the Ksubas Isha, or for the derech, the schus to walk through someone else's field, here we say the klal is it has to be something which can and practically would be sold. Hashenki, in a real tangible item, there even if it has value only to the owner and not to anyone else, like the example of the shtar which was torn, or the food which had already been chewed up, in these cases we can be mechayev the mazik for the full value, even though this value was only klapid the nizik, this is not the price that he could have sold the object to someone else. Now continue on, and the Gemara says, Omar Rovo, hilchasa toiva sana li'isho, ve'in habal oichel peiris. Rav paskins that the halacha is, if a woman sells her ksuba for the toiva sana, she gets to keep the money, ve'in habal oichel peiris. The Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Peir tekin le rabbanon, peir de peir loy tekin le rabbanon. Now firstly, Rashi over here, Dibur Maschel v'ein abal oichel peiris, he explains, loy aminon yikach behem karka v'hu oichel peiris. The havmina would have been, not that the Baal gets all of the money of the Teva Sana, rather she should buy karka with that money and he'll get the peiris from that karka. And Rava says, what's the reason why we don't say this? Because peir tekin le rabbanon, peir de peir loy tekin le rabbanon. Now this lashon, peir tekin le rabbanon, peir de peir loy tekin le rabbanon, we find this as well in Ksubas Daf Ayin Tesom at Beis. The Gemara there is talking about a Vlad Behemas Malug. In other words, if she brings into the marriage a Behema as Nichsei Malug, and that Behema has a child, so the din is the husband gets the Vlad, that's like Paris. However, the Gemara says that if that Vlad is stolen, and eventually the Ganav is found, and he gives back the Vlad and he pays Kefil as well, the din is that that Kefil does not go to the husband, rather it goes to the wife. And the Gemara there is bothered, where is the Pshat? Why should it go to the wife? L'chair, the Vlad Behemas Malug belongs to the husband, he should be the one to get the Kefil. And the Gemara says the pshat is because peir tekin le rabbanon, peir de peir loy tekin le rabbanon. The peir, which is the vlad itself, that goes to the husband. But the peir de peir, the produce of the vlad, which in this case is the kefel, which came as a result of the vlad being stolen, that goes to the wife, not to the husband. That's called peir de peir. Now Tosis asks Akasha, both Tosis over here as well as Tosis over there in Ksuba Sayintes, that what's the pshat? How can we say peir de peir loy tekin le rabbanon? L'chair, this seems to be a steer to a mefurish in Mishnah. The Mishnah in Ksuba Staff Pegimah Meralef has a case where a person was misalik himself from the nechassim of his wife. He says, dinu dvarim ein li b'nechsayich. And Mishnah says that even if he says, loshen ein li b'nechsayich u b'peiris sayin, still there's a tzad to say that he was only misalik himself from the peiris, and not from the peiri peiris. There's machlekes over there in the Mishnah, according to Tanakam, he did mean to be misalik himself, even from the peiri peiris. According to Rabbi Yehuda, and this is how we paskin, he was only misalik himself from the peiris, not from the peiri peiris. Mashmai says that everyone's masking the be'etzim, the Baal does have a right to get the peiri peiris. The machlekes only is, when he was Messiah himself, when he forfeited the right for the Paris, does that include also forfeiting the Peri Paris? L'chair, this is a steer to Arsig, which says that a Baal does not have a right to the Peri Paris. So in this place, the answer is both here and in Ksubis, that there's a difference between Peri Paris to Asim Megufei and Peri Paris to Asim Alma. If it's Asim Megufei, which means it comes naturally out of the Paris, for example, if the mother had a child and that child had a child, that's Peri Paris, there it's partially the husband gets those Peri Paris as well. Or for example, the milk of the cow, the same way the husband has a right to get the milk of the original cow, so too if the cow has children, the husband has a right to get the milk of those children as well.
That's peri peris, but it's, since it's osi megufe, that the husband does have a right to get. Mashenkin, in case of it's osi me'alma, something which does not come naturally out of the original chayfetz, for example, the chiv of kefel, this is not a natural product of the animal, rather something which is unexpected because something out of the ordinary happened, that chiv does not go to the husband, and rather it goes to the wife. And Tai says, this is the pshat in Esrig as well, the tevas hanaf from selling the ksuba, that's not something which is osi megufe, rather it's considered osi me'alma. Making money off of this nechset same barzal by selling them for the tevas hanaf, the buyer pays money for the possibility that in the future he'll eventually get these nechset same barzal. This is not a natural product of the nechset same barzal, therefore it does not go to the husband. Now Tais over here in the end of the Dibur Maschal, he's bothered by a kasha, and Tais in Ksuba asks the same kasha, and he explains it more clearly, and that is, that how could be that if a person would steal the behemoth malug itself, in other words, the original para which she brought into the marriage, that's the behemoth malug, if that would get stolen, the mashmais is that the husband would get the kefel, because that's the first peri. The Gemara's mashma only peri the peri like the kinyan l'rabbanan, but the first peri, he would get. How could it be that in that case he would get the kefel, even though behemoth is really owned by the wife, not by the husband? She owns the guf of the behemoth, the husband owns the peris of the behemoth, he gets the children and the milk of the behemoth, but the ikur behemoth is owned by her, and if the din is that in this case he gets the kefil, even though it's osim mi alma, since it's the only peri, not peri the peri, he gets the kefil in that case, then koshkin in the case where the vlad of the original behemoth was stolen, and the kefil is coming from the vlad of the behemoth smalug, for sure the din is that he should get the kefil, even though it's osim mi alma, because in that case he owns the actual vlad, he could keep it, it's his, it's not hers. If he'd be megarasher or divorcer, he gets to keep it, because it's the peris of the original behemoth. How does it make sense that in that case, the kefil would go to her, not to him? In other words, if there's a klal, a peri, the osig ma'alma, the husband does not have a right to get, if he does not have a right to get it from the vlad of the nechsei melug, so koshkin, he does not have a right to get it from the melug itself. So Tosis answers this kasha. Again, here Tosis says, bekitzer, in Ksubis, he says, it's more barichos, he says, b'shem the rivon, and that is that when the Gemara says that the kefil of the vlad behemoth melug does not go to the husband, rather goes to the wife, because it's peri de peri, the Gemara does not mean to say that the kefil of behemoth malug itself would go to the husband. Rather, it's a koshkein. The Gemara is telling us that even in this case, even the kefil of the vlad behemoth malug, where the husband owns the actual vlad, still then is the kefil goes to the wife, and koshkein, surely, if it's the kefil which comes from the original behemoth malug, that also would go to the wife, since it's osi me'alma. In other words, it's a cloud that anything which is osi me'alma goes to the wife, not to the husband. That cloud is true even in the case where the kefil came from the vlad behemoth malug, and koshkein in the case where the kefil came from the behemoth malug itself. Now the problem with this is, and this is pointed out in the Sefer Beis Aaron over here in the Sugyo, this fits very well in the Sugyo and Ksubis. When we talk about the kefil, so there it makes sense to say, like Taisu says, that it's a kol shekein. If the kefil which comes from the vlad of the behemoth melug, then is that since it's osim me'alma, the wife gets it, even though in that case the husband owns the actual vlad, and kol shekein kefil which comes from the behemoth melug itself, which the wife owns, for sure then is that since it's osim me'alma, the husband does not get it, the wife does get it. However, when we come to Er Sugyo, we're talking about the type of sana, which he gets from selling the ksuba. When Agmar says peri de peri loyta kinyan l'rabbanan, so kaputa the Gemara means to say that the peris which comes out of the money that she got for selling the ksuba, here you don't have that koshkin, because here the tevet sanah itself goes to the wife, not to the husband. So the Gemara says that the peris of that tevet sanah does not go to the husband, it goes to the wife. It's not a koshkin over here. It's not like the case of the kefil which came from the vlad behemoth malug, but even though the husband owned the vlad behemoth malug, but he doesn't get the kefil, here the actual tevet sanah is owned by the wife. So why are we talking about a case of peri de peri, which, as Rashi explained, that means that the peris which come from the karka, which is bought with this money of the Tevet Sana, what are we talking about? That we should have talked about the actual Tevet Sana itself. We should have said the husband does not get that because it's Osi Me'alma. So in the Sefer Beis Aaron over here, he quotes a Ra'ah. The Ra'ah is brought in the Shita Mekubetzes in Ksubis, over there in the Dafayin Tesum at Beis. And the Ra'ah says that in Gemara, when the Gemara says peri de takinu l'rabbanan, peri de peri l'itakinu l'rabbanan, the words peri de peri do not mean kepshutai. It doesn't mean peris which come out of the first set of peris. Rather, it means something else. It means peris akinu l'rabbanan, the ikur peris, which come out of the nechsei melug or the nechsei tzayim barzel, that the husband does have a right to get. But peri de peri, if there's a secondary set of peris, meaning not the ikur peris, that's the natural produce. Rather, there's another way to reap benefits out of these nechassim, like in this case, she sells the nechsei tzayim barzel for the tevet hanah. This is another way of getting money out of the nechsei tzayim barzel. Some will pay money for the possibility of getting these nechsei tzayim barzel after the husband divorces her or after the husband dies. This secondary way of benefiting from the nechassim is called peri de peri, and that the chacham never will misaken that the husband should get them. In the Sefer Beis Aaron, he explains that Be'etzim, for the Sugya and Ksubas, the Ra'ah did not have to explain this way. When we talk about Kefel, even though that's also a secondary benefit, and you could say the same Hesper, that would be called Peri de Peri, not Peri. It's not the natural way of benefiting from the behemoth's Malug, it's a secondary way. The Kefel, that if the behemoth is stolen, that's another way of making money off of the behemoth. That could be considered Peri de Peri for the same Hesper. It's not the Iker Peris. However, the Beis Aaron explains that the Ra'ah did not have to explain this way in the Sugya and Ksubas, so over there you could explain Al Derech Tosfos. Because there the Sugya is really talking about peri de peri. It's talking about the kefa which comes from the vlad behemoth smalug. That's literally peris which come from other peris. That's what the sigil over there is talking about. And why we spoke about peri de peri as opposed to kefa which comes from the behemoth smalug itself, that essay explains that it's a koshkein. The Gemara over there is telling us a chiddush that even the kefil which comes from the vlad behemoth smalug, even though the husband owns the vlad behemoth smalug, still there is that the kefa which comes from it, the wife gets it and not him. And the reason why he doesn't get it is because it's asim mi'alma, and we could have said the same din on the original peri, the peri de asim mi'alma from the original nechasim of the wife. The husband doesn't get that either, but we spoke about a case of peri de peri because that's an added chiddush. There you don't have to say the lashon is lav dafka like the Ra'ah is saying. However, when we come to Ersigyo, here the Ra'ah was bothered by Akasha. Why are we talking about peri de peri? If it means literal, the peris which come out of the karka which you buy from this money of the Tayyib Sana, why are we speaking about that? L'chayra, the ikra chiddush over here is the Tayyib Sana itself, the husband doesn't get, even though that is the original peris. The Gemara should have told us the ikra chiddush is that the husband doesn't get that Tayyib Sana, and the reason is because it's Asim Alma. The Gemara should have said simply that the husband does not get that Tayyib Sana because it's Asim Alma, and then you would have known Memela that if she'll buy karka with that money, the husband's not going to get the peris either. And that's so you don't have the added chiddush to talk about the peri de peri, as opposed to the Sugging Subas where there is an added chiddush in the peri de peri. The chiddush is that even though the husband owns the Vlad Behemoth Smaloga, still the din is that the kefa which comes from it will go to the wife, not to the husband. This is what the Ra'ah was bothered by. And therefore he said that the pshat is that peri de peri, the Lushan is Lav Dafka, is not referring to peris which come from peris, but it's another way of saying secondary peris. It's not the natural produce of an Nechasim, rather it's peris to Asi Me'alma. However, as we mentioned previously, Rashi in the Sugging before that he learned not like this, Rashi says clearly the whole need in the sugya is, does the husband get the peris, which come from the karka, which is bought by the money of this Tayyib Sana? According to the Ra, we're not talking about that, Bechlal. We're speaking about the Ikr Tayyib Sana, that's the need in the sugya, and that's what the Gemara refers to as peri de peri. Now, just mentioned that the Ravid, he says similar to the Ra, this is quoted in the Rashba, the Ravid was bothered by Akasha. If we learn the Gemara Kapshuta, that peri is referring to the Tayyib Sana, and peri de peri is the peris which come from the karka, which he bought with that money of the Tayyib Sana. If the Gemara is calling the Tayyib Sana the peri, so what's the pshat? Why doesn't that go to the husband? The klal is that the husband has the right to get any peris from his wife's nechasim, whether nechsim lug, nechsim tzim barzel. If we're calling this Tayyib Sana peri, that should go to the husband. And if the Ravid says, Akarach, when we say peri to kinyan rabbanan, we're not referring to the Tayyib Sana. The Gemara is not calling the Tayyib Sana peri, but the Gemara means to say that the general rule is that the peris goes to the husband, but the peri to peri does not go to the husband. The Ravid explains that peri to peri means like the kefil of the vlad behemoth smalug. Gemara means to make a comparison the same way that peri de peri. The kefil of Vlad Behemoth Smalug does not go to the husband. Here also the Tayyib Sana does not go to the husband. And Rav explains that the comparison of the Gemara is the same way the kefil of Vlad Behemoth Smalug does not go to the husband because the Chacham are masakin that the Iker Peris, that's what goes to the husband, not the secondary Peris. And the Sefer Beis Aaron, he understands that this Rav means al derech the Ra'ah, which we said previously, a chilek between the Iker Peris, the Peris which come naturally from the Nechasim, as opposed to the secondary Peris. And Rav explains that the Gemara means to make a comparison, the same way secondary peris are not included in that which the husband gets, so too over here, as far as the Tayyib Sana of selling the Ksuba, this is also a secondary benefit. The Iker Schos that the Chacham gave him is that if Shol die first, he'll Yarsh in the Ksuba. However, if he dies first, or if he's Megarasher, then he's supposed to pay the Ksuba. Over here, what she's selling is the Schos that the buyer will have the right to collect the Ksuba. If the husband dies or divorces her, this is not included in the Schos of the husband in the Ksuba. This is supposed to be the Chayyad that she has in the Ksuba. Under these circumstances, she collects the ksuba, and if therefore she makes money of selling the Tayyib Sana of the possibility that she'll collect the ksuba, this is not something which the husband has any schosim in. This is how the Beis Aaron understands the shita of the Ravid. But upon the Iker, the Ravid is learning a derech l'ra'ah, that peri de peri in the sugya doesn't mean to say peris which come from previous peris, right? It's another way of saying peri de asim alma. And the Hezbrah is that since it's a secondary benefit, this is not something which the husband has a schosim. Now continue on. Mehemshach Gemara brings that Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua, they wanted to bring a right from Eir Mishnah to Takanas Usha. From the din of the Mishnah that an Eved v'Isha Pigiyosan Ra, Chayiv b'hem Chayiv, v'hem Shechavu b'achirim Pturim, the Gemara asks, if you would not hold of Takanas Usha, what does the Gemara mean to say that an Isha does not have money, that's why she doesn't have to pay for the hezek which she causes, Echar she should sell her Nichsei Malug, and the money which she gets from selling it, she should give to the Nizik. Elamai, from here's the right like Takanas Usha, that she cannot sell the Nechasim. And this Gemara asks, even if you don't hold of Takanas Usha, that she could sell the Nichsei Malug with a Mechir Gemura, but still she could sell it with a Tayyib Sana, that on the side that she'll end up getting these Nechasim, if the husband dies or divorces her, then the Nechasim will then go to the Lekeach, that she definitely could do. So why don't we say that if she's Mazik someone, she should have to sell the Nechasim Malug for the Tayyib Sana, and that money should go to the Nizik. So the Gemara says, you have to say that the Lesla, she doesn't have Nechasim Malug, if so, you also don't have a right to Takanas Usha for the same reason, the case is time that she does not have Nechasim Malug. The Gemara then is Mamchach, the Gemara asks if she should still have to sell the Ksuba for the Tayyib Sana, even if she doesn't have any Nichsei Tzim Barzel in the Ksuba, but everyone has a money or Masayim, that she should have to sell for the Tayyib Sana, and that money should go to the Nizik. And that the Gemara says, no, we don't do this because she's going to be meichel the husband afterwards. Since the din is that even if she sells the ksuba, she has the right to be meichel it, we're afraid that she's going to do so, and this will be mafsid the loy keach. Al-Kapam, it seems that the maskanas of Gemara, the din of the Mishnah would have to be dafka in a case where she does not have any nichsei melug. Because if she would have nichsei melug, then even after takana susha, she cannot sell the nechasim in a definite way, but she should still sell for taiva sana and pay the nizik, according to the cases that she doesn't have any nichsei melug. And the Gemara was never chayzer from this teretz, and if so, this should come out lahalacha. And the Rosh actually paskins this way when he brings the din of the Mishnah. He says the case is talking about dafka in a case where she does not have nichsei melug. That's what the Mishnah says, that pigyos and Rosh, she doesn't have to pay for the hezik. If she would have nichsei melug, she would be mukhif to sell for taiva sana and give the money to the nizik. The Rosh is over here in Siman Tes. He says, umari beisha she'ein la nichsei melug. However, if we take a look in Hagoy Sashri over there, he says in those words of ein la nichsei melug, he says, v'chein kost of Rabbeinu harav yo. Avol Rashi pirish, Rashi argues in this, and Rashi explains that the Mishnah is talking about even in a case where she does have nichsei melug. Now, which Rashi is he referring to? He's referring to Rashi back on the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Pezayin, that which the Mishnah says, Eved of Isha Pigyos and Rod, that their potter, still the Mishnah continues and says, Niskasha Isha or Nishtacher Eved Chayovim Lashalim. And those words, Chayovim Lashalim, Rashi explains, Sharei Mitchil Lehen Chayovim. Be'etzim, at the time they were Mazik, they really were Nischayev. Elosh Ein Lehem Alashalim. They don't have any money to pay. And Rashi continues and he says, Shenichsei Meluk Shal Isha Mishuabadim Lebal Leperes Uli Yerusha. Even if she does have nichsei melug, she cannot use that to pay the nizik, because those nechasim are meshuvah to the Baal, he has the right to get the peiros of those nechasim, and if she dies, he has the right to yarshin those nechasim, therefore they cannot be used to pay the hezik. The mashmaris of Rashi is that we're talking about a case that she does have nichsei melug, and the kash is, the Chari Gemara says, mefurish, not like this, the Gemara says that if she does have nichsei melug, she would be mechayiv to sell it for taifa sana, and economically she cannot sell it with a definite sale, because mechayim it's meshuvah to the husband for peiros. And if she dies, the husband gets him because of Takanas Usha. This is what Rashi himself said on the Mishnah over there. However, the Gemara says she would still have to sell B'toyva Sanoa. And the Gemara says, therefore, you have to say the case is talking about that she doesn't have Nichsei Melug. L'chai Rashi in the Mishnah is before not like this. Rashi's mashmah that even if she does have Nichsei Melug, still it is that she doesn't use it to pay for the Hezek. And the truth is, this Kasha is not only Kasha on Rashi, it's a Kasha on the Rif as well. He brings the Mishnah. He doesn't say anything that it's talking about Dafko. She doesn't have Nichsei Melug. And the Ram also, in Perek Dal Hilchos Chevul Mazik Alocha Chof Aleph, he brings the Mishnah of Eved Ve'isha Pigyos and Ro. He says that she's not mechayiv to pay, but after she gets divorced and she is mechayiv to pay, Ram doesn't mention anything. The case is talking about Dafko, she doesn't have Nichsei Melug, like the Gemara says. Now, the Tais Yantav on our Mishnah, he addresses this Kasha. He quotes the Batzinu, who also says, Al-Derech Rashi, that the reason why she doesn't have to pay for the Nichsei Melug is because it's Meshubah to the husband. And he asks, L'chair, this is a steer to the Gemara. The Gemara says the case is talking about where she doesn't have any Nichsei Melug. And he answers this based on the Shulta Gibarim. The Shulta Gemara over here, this is on Lamed Aleph from a base in the Dabba Yarif. In Eis Beis, he brings the Rosh, and he says the Rosh holds that if she has Nichsei Melug, she would have to sell them. He says, L'maskanas HaGemara, after the Gemara asks later on that she should have to sell the Ksuba for Taiva Sana, that she used to pay the Nizik, the Gemara answers that we don't do this because she's going to be Meichel the Chayiv. And now already we don't have to say that she doesn't have Nichsei Melug either. Now already we could say that it's talking about she does have Nichsei Melug. And the same terms would apply, if we're going to tell her to sell the Nichsei Melug, she's going to be Meichel the husband later on, and the buyers will lose out. And he goes on and he says that even though the Nichsei Melug are really hers, he says still we look at her as a Chayiv, and if she'll be Meichel the husband will not have to give it back. The Tais Yonder says this is the Pshat and the Rashi and the Rav, and this will answer the Ram also why he leaves out this din, that the Mishnah is talking about Dafka in a case where she doesn't have any Nichsei Melug. Because the Maskana Sagamar, even if she does have Nichsei Melug, we wouldn't tell her to sell it because we say that afterwards she's going to be Meichel the husband. Now the Maisa B'Kveg over there in the Mishnah, he's Matmi on this. He says, how can you say such a Chiddush that if she sells the Nichsei Melug, afterwards she could go and be Meichel the husband? But as if the Nichsei Melug is hers, she should be able to sell it with a Mechir Gemura. Even before she gets divorced or her husband dies, she should be able to sell it. That's only because of Takanas Usha, they said that if she sells it Mechaim, the din is that the husband could take it away after she dies. However, that's partial that if she sells it for after she gets divorced, or after the husband dies, that's a mechira gemura, and there's no way she can be meichel the husband afterwards. And he says, if you take a look at the Rosh, there is a chiddush in the Rosh. The Rosh is a vore that not only nichsei melug, but even nichsei tzayim barzel. The Mishnah has to be talking about that she doesn't have nichsei tzayim barzel either, because if not, we would tell that she has to sell the nichsei tzayim barzel for the taiva sana, and that money would have to go to the nizik. He says, this part of the Rosh is a chiddush, because Kapshut, the Gemara is only talking about nichsei melug. That's what the Gemara says, that she would have had to sell it for the taiva sana, and the money would go to the nizik. However, as far as the nichsei tzayim barzel, that we could have understood, that's the same as the ksuba. The same with the rest of the ksuba, the Gemara says she would not be mechayiv to sell for the taiva sana, because that she could be meichel afterwards. The nichsei tzayim barzel, we could look at it as a chayiv, and that maybe mechila would help. The Rosh is mashma that on the nichsei tzayim barzel, mechila would not help. Therefore, the Rosh says the case of the Mishnah has to be talking about she doesn't have any nichsei melug or nichsei tzayim barzel. This is her we tell you in the shayla, which we discussed previously in the shir. The Rosh din is that if the wife dies, the husband gets the nichsei tzayim barzel. How do we look at that? Is it pshat that it's like a yerusha? that while she was alive, we look at it as if Be'etzim was her nechasim, and after she dies, her husband yarshins her? Or do we say that since we write them into the ksuba, and the husband is mekabel upon himself the achrayis is to give back the same amount, so the pshat is that Be'etzim is like a chayiv now, in other words, the husband gets the nechasim and he's mechayiv himself, that if he divorces her or if he dies, he's going to pay that chayiv. If it would be looked at as a chayiv, then mechila would help. For the fact that the Rosh puts nechsei tzein brazel together with nechsei melug, and he says that only manam asayim, that's where the din is, that we don't force her to sell it, because afterwards she's going to be meichel anyhow, and the lekuach will lose out. Mashenke nechsei melug and nechsei tzein brazel, if there would be such nechasim, she would have to sell them for the teves hanah, and therefore the case of the Mishnah has to be talked about, she doesn't have any nechsei melug or nechsei tzein brazel. This Rosh lechayiv would be mashma like the tzad, that it's not a chayiv, rather be'etzem, she still owns the nechasim, and if she dies, then the husband gets them b'yerusha. But Akhavam, that's as far as the nechsei tzein brazel is concerned. But as far as the nechsei melug is concerned, that Rav Kvegar says that's the chayiv poshut, that if she sells the nechasim and afterwards she's meichel her husband, that mechila doesn't do anything because it's not a chayiv, rather she owned the nechasim and she had a right to sell them. If so, the kasha comes back on Rashi, on the Bar Tanura, and on the Rambam as well, l'chayiv, the din of the Mishnah has to be talking about dafka in case where she doesn't have nechsei melug, like the Gemara says, this kasha would still be difficult. The Maaser Kvegar quotes from the Yamsha Shleim, he also asks his kasha on the Shulta Gibarim. And the Maaser Yamsha Shleim is Matrik Rashi. He says Rashi in the Mishnah doesn't mean to say that if she does have nechsei melug, she wouldn't have to sell them for the teves hanah. That's connected to Gemara. Rashi definitely did not mean that. Rather, Rashi was bothered by she should have to sell the nechasim with the mechira gemura. She should sell the nechasim to the lekeach. He should get them now without any conditions, and he should pay the full value for them. And that money she'll use to pay the nizik. And then Rashi says that she cannot do that because it's meshuvah to the husband for the peris, and because of tekanas usha that after she dies the husband is going to get it. Enichanami the Yavshe Shlema says Rashi was maskim that she should lemaisa sell them for the teves hanah, but since that's a small amount, and it's very possible that wouldn't cover the hezek which was caused over here, and furthermore, she may not find someone to buy it at all if she's selling it only for the teves hanah. People do not want to buy something for the tzad that maybe they'll get it if she ends up getting divorced or the husband dies. Therefore, Rashi didn't discuss this point. Rashi was discussing selling it with an unconditional sale. Enichanami Rashi is maskim that if she's able to sell it for the teves hanah, then she should, and that money would go to the nizik. Now, just mentioned Bekitzer that the Pnei Yeshua over here has another mahalach to answer Rashi and also to answer the Shita of the Rambam. He says, Esig, which is Mavur, that even though she cannot sell the karka with the Mechira Gemura because of Tekanas Usha, still the din is that she should sell it for the Teiva Sano, and that money should go to the Nizik. He says, this really is telling the Sugi in Ksubis, Nafnan Tes. He says, it could be a problem of Mechira and Adavar Shalei B'la'ilam. Since the karka right now she's not able to sell, the husband has the right to hold on to it for the Paris. This could be considered a Mechira and Adavar Shalei B'la'ilam, and the Mechira is not Chal at all. Therefore, he says the Eretz is going according to the tzad that this is not a problem of Dovr Shalei B'la'ilam. But according to the Rambam Paskins, this would be a problem of Mechira and Dovr Shalei B'la'ilam. Therefore, the Rambam does not bring the din that case of Tamar Dafka there was no Nechsei Melug, because even if she did have Nechsei Melug, there is no option for her to sell it for the Teves Hanah. This would be the Teres for Rashi on the Mishnah as well. Rashi didn't entertain the possibility of selling it for the Teves Hanah. Rashi is only speaking about selling it with a Mechira Gemura, because the Maaseh said this would be a problem of Dovr Shalei B'la'ilam. Now continue on, we'll mention the kasha which Tosfos asks, in the end of Dibur Maskel, Kol Lagabi Baila, Tosfos there has an arichos, he asks different kashas. One kasha he asks is that she should sell a ksuba b'maimit shloshton in front of the husband. Then in that case is that if afterwards she's meichel, the mechila doesn't work. Tosfos there asks another kasha, we should tell that she should sell a ksuba and afterwards she should write over a new ksuba with the name of the lekech on it. This way she's not able to be meichel the husband anymore. Again, one could take a look in Tosfos, but in the end we'll mention the kasha he asks in the end of the Dibur Maskel, and that is, once the Gemara says that if she sells the ksuba, we could assume that she'll be meichel the husband, like the lashon of the Gemara Kol Lagabi Baila Vadei Machlo, we could assume definitely she'll be meichel the husband. If so, what is the pshat in the Braisa by the case of Edom Zayimim? The Braisa says, how do you evaluate how much they were mafsid or how much they have to pay for the chiv of Kasha Zamam? It says, Oyimim kam adam moitzalitim miksubasa shalzu, shem nisam le nisgarsha vimesa yershena bala. And the Kasha is that she can't sell this ksuba, we won't allow her to, because we can assume afterwards she'll be meichel the husband. If so, how can we say that this is the evaluation, this is the hefsa which the Edom would have caused her, but that she would have been able to sell a ksuba and make money, now she's not? If the Gemara says that we can assume that afterwards she's going to be meichel the husband, so obviously no one's going to buy this ksuba, so the Edom could tell her that we weren't being mafsid to do anything. This is the kasha of Tosfos, and he answers that there is really a way to sell a ksuba that she should not be able to afterwards to be meichel the husband. Tosfos says she could give mashkeinais or arvos, a neder, a shua. These are types of ways of affirming the sale, and afterwards she's not going to be mafsid the lekech by being meichel the husband. However, in our case, in the case where she was mazik someone, so if she has money, she's mechayiv to pay. She doesn't have any money. We're not mechayiv to sell the ksuba because be'esem selling the ksuba is something which will be mafsid the lekeach. Even though theoretically there are ways to affirm the sale, still it says ein mishu obedes lenizik. She doesn't have a shiba to the nizik. Last is like kiyumin. She doesn't have to do these types of kiyumin. Therefore, the din is that we're not mechayiv to sell the ksuba. Now, the truth is, we should point out that Rashi seems to have answered this kasha on the bottom of Peitesa Min Aleph. Rashi says iyamin lo tezavin mafsadin le lekeach. If you're going to tell her to sell the ksuba, that's going to be mafsid lekeach. She's going to be meichel leksuba. Since she didn't really want to sell leksuba, rather we're forcing her to sell leksuba in order to pay for the hezek. She doesn't want to sell it. Only in this case, where she never wanted to sell leksuba, that's where we say that bestama shall be meichel the husband. Rashi seems to have answered this kasha, the case of the braisa, where she does want to sell leksuba. If she decides she wants to make money by selling the ksuba, she has that option, and over there we don't assume afterwards she's going to be meichel the husband. Therefore, she could tell the Edom Zayim that you were mafsin me. I could have decided I wanted to sell the ksuba and made money. If she would have decided on her own that she wants to sell the ksuba, then right, there would not be a chash that afterwards she would be meichel the husband.
Now, continue on. The Gemara Bahamshach talks about a case where she was chayvel in the husband himself. What's the din over there? The Gemara brings a base which says, "Echein hi shechavah bebeidah lo yafsid the ksuba." So she's not mechuyif to payment. She doesn't lose out anything from her ksuba. And this one asks, "Amayt is avnino nialei leksubasa lebeil b'tevias no b'ha'chavola." She should be mechiv to sell to her husband leksuba, which means to say that on the tzad that if he's going to be megarish or if he's going to die first, he'll now become potter. This is the tevias no of the ksuba, where someone else would be willing to pay to buy this ksuba. The husband also would be willing to pay this amount in order to potter himself. So that money of the tevias no, instead of the husband actually giving it to her, he'll keep it in exchange for the chavola which she did to him. On this, when answers how vadi remeir he damar osel adam shiashes ishto yafilu shoachas b'lo ksuba. The Gemara explains the time of May kadesh like take kalabeinov loitzia. In this case, where he knows he's not going to have to pay the ksuba, he bought the ksuba for the tevias hano. And now, even if he's going to be mgarish or his potter, in this case it will be kalabeinov loitzia, and if it will be awesome for them to stay married. Now, lashon of the Gemara hachi mgarish lo begavol le bechavola mino. The Gemara is mashma that he's going to collect for the chavola after he's mgarisher. In the Sefer Agel HaShachar from Reb Steinman Shlita, he points out that the Lashon of the Gemara doesn't seem to be meduyik. The Gemara is mashma that after he's megarisher and he pays the ksuba, then he'll collect for the chavala. The Gemara at this point is going that she already sold to him for the tevias hano. She sold him the rights for the ksuba in exchange for the chavala, which she did. Not that at the time he's going to be megarisher, that's when he's going to collect for the chavala. Ba'kapan, the Gemara then asks Akasha, Ihachi, Hashanami megarish lo v'gavale b'chavala mina. Even now that we're saying that she doesn't have to sell to the husband the ksuba for the tevias hano in order to pay for the chavala, still should be the same problem, because the maisa there is a chayv, eventually when she gets money she's going to have to pay for the chavala. If so, you have the problem of kal be'inov loitzia. He knows that when he's going to be megarisher eventually, he's going to be able to keep the money because of the chavala which she owes him. So the Gemara answers, kigoyin de nafesh ksubasa de mashum ahu purta le mafsid tuva. The ksuba is a large amount and the demei chavala is much less. Therefore, there's no chash that it's going to be kalbein of loitzia. He knows he's going to have to pay the large amount of the ksuba, even though he'll get back the small amount of the chavala. And this one asks, if the ksuba is more than the ksuba dereisa, if it's more than the minimum chi of ksuba, which is a mana for an almana, and masayim for a basula, then the extra, the amount beyond the mana or masayim, that she should be mechuyif to sell to the husband to pay for the chavala. In other words, even though the Gemara said before, according to her mayor, kadesh li take kalbein of loitzia, it's also for her to stay married if she doesn't have a ksuba of a mana or masayim. But if the ksuba is more than that amount, so the extra she should be able to sell to him for tevias hano in order to pay back for the chavala. And this my answer is going to learn a fisha ksuba miksuba deraisa. No, really the case he's talking about that the ksuba is only the minimum share. However, the Gemara says the chavala is only arba zuzi, it was a small amount. The mishum arba zuzi li mafsid esrim v'chamisha. He's not going to be mafsid the full amount of the ksuba. Esrim v'chamisha means 25 slam, which is the same as 100 zuz. That's the ksuba of an almano. The Gemara chose an almano, but the same could also be by a basula, the amount of 200 zuz. Ragapam, the Iker Teretz of the Gemara was that the Dmei Chaval is a small amount, and if it's still not Kal Be'inav Loitzio, he's not going to divorce her so quickly, he's going to have to pay the full amount of the Ksuba, and the only thing he's going to save is a small amount of the Chavala. That's not enough to take away Kadesh Leitei Kal Be'inav Loitzio. Now the problem which is still difficult at this point in the Gemara, and this is the Kasha of Taisus and Dibur Masko Kagain, Taisus asks him, Taimur Vahash Tehechim Betukim Akir Meir, Vahali Poichos Amimono Imasayim, Ubilos Abilos Aznos Ler Meir. According to our mayor, any time there's a ksuba of less than a mana or masayim, we say that the bilas, znos, they cannot stay together. And therefore, Taisus means to ask over here, if the ksuba is exactly mana or masayim, so as soon as she was chayv on the husband, so now already the husband knows that he's not going to have to pay the full mana or masayim when he divorces her, so that itself should be enough to make it into a bilas, znos, they should not be able to stay married to each other. In other words, Taisus is asking, even though Enoch Nam the Gemara answered that the ksuba is exactly a mana or masayim, and for that reason we don't tell her that she should sell the ksuba to the husband to pay for the chavala, but Lamaisa, still the kasha is difficult that according to her mayor, that anytime there's the ksuba is less than a mana or masayim, it's a bilas aznus, this should be the same as the ksuba which is less than a mana or masayim, because she owes him money for the chavala, so in the end, when he's megarish, he's not going to have to pay the full mana or masayim, that itself should be a reason that should be considered a bilas aznus. On this Taisus answers, he says, V'yish leimer, dehi ge remes lahafsid la'atzma. In this case, where she was chayvah on the husband, she was the one who caused herself to lose out.
that eventually she will not be able to collect the whole ksuba, since it was her fault, there is no din that they cannot stay married to each other. This means to explain why Lamaisa, after we say the din is that we're not mechayev to sell a ksuba, but Lamaisa they can't stay married, Tosfos explains that even though eventually she will not collect the whole ksuba, still that's not a problem. And L'chor, we still have to be masber further, according to this, L'chor, the kasha should come back, and now already the time he was chayvah on her, we should say that she should have to sell the ksuba to the husband, not the whole ksuba, but a chelik of the ksuba, in this case, 4 zuzim of the ksuba, she should sell us to the husband at the time of the chavala. And even though the husband now knows that if he'll be megarasher, he's not going to have to pay her the full ksuba, the mana or masayim, he's going to be able to take off 4 zuz. And the mayor holds that if one is peiches from a mana or masayim, then bilas znus. But according to what Taisa says, in the case where she was going to cause herself to lose, then the mayor didn't say this, then that if you're peiches from mana or masayim, it's a bilas znus. So in this case as well, that which was mechayfer to sell 4 zuzim of her ksuba back to the husband, that was something which was her fault. So here again, the din should be that Rameir is masking that it's not a bilas znus. So in what you have to say b'das taisis, and in the sefer Nachlas Moshe, he says al derech this, that there's a chay between a case where she sells the ksuba to the husband and a case where she still has the actual ksuba. If she sold the ksuba to the husband, so now maisa the ksuba is less than masayim. Like in this case, if she would sell 4 zuz of the ksuba back to the husband to pay for the chavala, the maisa the chacham's takana was that she has to have a ksuba of a mana or masayim. The Chacham said, "Begeder loy plug." It has to be exactly that amount. And even if she's the one who caused herself to lose part of the ksuba because she was chayv on her husband, still the takana was that every besul has to have a ksuba of masayim and every amana a ksuba of amana. Now, Shaykin, in this case, if she doesn't actually sell the ksuba back to the husband, Sifna Lamaisa, she owes money to the husband, and when the time comes for him to pay the ksuba, if he's megarasher, he's not going to give her the full masayim or mana because forces he's going to keep for the money which she owes him for the chavala. Lamaisa, she does actually have a ksuba of amana or a ksuba of masayim. So the ikar takanas chachamim, that she has to have a ksuba for that amount, that takana is being kept. Taiz is just asking that since the maisa, even though the ksuba is a mana or masayim, the maisa, when the time comes for him to pay the ksuba, when he's megarasher, he's not going to have to pay the full amount, so we should be mechayif him to write a new ksuba. He should have to write another ksuba where he's mechayif himself to pay a mana or masayim beyond the dmei chaval which she owes him. And that Taiz says that since in this case, she's the one who's going to have it to herself, therefore we're not mechayif him to write another ksuba. But again, this is all in a case where Lamaisa, she never sold him any chelik of the ksuba, so she still does have a full ksuba of amana or masayim. The fact that in the end she's not going to get it because she's going to have to pay for the dmei chavala, that doesn't bother us. But for her to sell the ksuba to him, or a chelik of the ksuba to him, then it would go into the klal of kol peiches mimana or masayim, bilosa bilas znus. However, the Nachlas Moshe Lamaisa leaves off with a kasha. He asks that the Gemara's mashmud only because it's dalet zuzi, it's a small amount compared to the ksuba which is much larger, that's why it will still not be considered kalabain of loitzia. The Mashmoy says that if it was a larger amount of the Chavala, then it would be Kaaba of Leitzia, and it would be a problem. According to the Svar of Tosfos, that since she was the one who was Gerim the Hefsid, there's no problem of Kaaba of Leitzia. So what Lamais is the din, if the Chavala was a larger amount, more than Dal Zuzi, is it a problem of Kaaba of Leitzia for them to stay married, since the husband knows that if he's Megarasher, he's going to get back the money for the Chavala? This is not so clear, he leaves off Betzarachin.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the DAF worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a DAF or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.